Before we pray, I would like to read from Psalms 145, a couple of verses. Psalms 145, from verse 8. Let us stand up for it. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Faithful is the Lord in his words, and holy in all his doings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the privilege that we can be gathered today in the name of Jesus at this place to praise you and exalt you, to bring you the due thanks, that we can hear your word anew and to glorify your grace, which mightily was proven on us. Faithful God, may you have patience with us and be merciful to us. Look now into our hearts and our lives. You know what we need. You know our needs. And I pray in particular for the lady who is here today for the first time and who had so many disappointments and had to go through many hardships in her life. Dear Lord, may you give her a word of comfort for her. If she has been put to shame by men, may she put today her trust in you. For no one is put to shame who trusts in you. The same we ask for all who are gathered here, and also for all who cannot be here. Faithful God, have mercy on us. Confirm thy word. Fulfill thy promises. And bless your people. We ask for your presence, for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Faithful Lord, give grace to speak and grace to hear. Be with us and help us that out of this gathering eternal fruit would come forth, that your reward would be gathered, and that still some are added and come into the kingdom of God. To you, the Almighty God, we say thanks with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wholeheartedly, we welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord. Every time when the last Sunday approaches, then my heart beats a bit faster. After all, it's an oasis, and for me, a place at which I feel well among you, brothers and sisters, where we can hear the word of the Lord unburdened, and where we may experience God together. The last weeks were very strenuous. They were very diversified. They were richly blessed, but also connected with a huge disappointment, which will probably follow me still quite some time. But we may put our hope in the Lord, knowing if people get unfaithful, if they deviate, if they leave the truth, then there are still such who remain on the narrow, prepared way and are firmly established in the truth and thus reach the destination. I will mention some things today, and I know that they will shock you. But sometimes a shock is good to show us what a grace it is to remain kept in the Word of God without any fantasy, without any deviation, just to remain in the Word of the Lord. As already just announced, it were so many journeys in a month as never before. It only went from airport to airport and from country to country. At first, through England, there we had meetings that were unique, especially the last one in London, in a big church, and the people came from all denominations. And the man who was leading this, he had a turned around collar. And when I otherwise have little inspiration, in that moment it comes to me by itself. And God has really given grace that the gospel and the message of God could be proclaimed. And as far as we see, also there the Lord has opened new doors. And if I say today that with these people who refer to the message, 90% of these people, you can't count on them, then I will prove it to you later with a few examples. God will have to do something very new among them who didn't hear it yet, but who have a longing in their heart and are searching for to hear the right thing. This we now experienced, especially in the USA. I mean now the contrast in this case. But before I go into it, just briefly, the greetings from all our brothers and sisters from Zaire. Their God has given great grace. I sat opposite of the second highest man of the country, and God has directed his heart and also the hearts of others and fulfilled the purpose why I have traveled there. And I said to the lawyer Jumbo, who was here in Krefeld, I said, I come, but please, I don't want to preach. I'm too tired. And what shall I tell you? Every day and every day. And this in that heat. But when one sees such a crowd of people, then one forgets all the hardship, all the sweat, and everything what is connected with it, and rejoices that God has given such a grace. Brother Barrier, my friend and brother, travels in this month to the Ivory Coast and also to other countries. He knows the local conditions, and he knows that in next to no time 2,000 or 3,000 people come together. But this time it were twice 2,000 or 3,000 people. It was just wonderful how God has touched the hearts. And as it was announced via the radio, and the people came to hear the word of the Lord. And right 1 week before my arrival, the special team from the USA departed there, and they have openly declared that they demand that with Brother Frank and Barrier no cooperation is possible. But we take it all very calm and serene. Only one asks himself the question, where shall all this lead? And later, when I then came into the USA, I, for the first time in my life, understood what it means when one reads in Amos, how can two walk together unless they agree? It has to be a divine agreement. And I will mention to you some points of that what is being taught there. And with this I don't agree throughout all eternity. We are bound to God's word. And this time I was laughed at because I was reading from the Bible. Yes, so far it has come. But before we go into detail of this not so nice part, I would like to give you a report of the international conference in New Jersey. There were people gathered from many countries, people who didn't know anything of that, what God has done in our days. But what we experienced there was just very wonderful. You all know our dear sister here and some who can play the piano so wonderfully. And there we had a man from Jamaica at the piano. All over there were loudspeakers connected, and every time when a highlight came in the proclamation, then that man hit on that keyboard and then there was a pause. He has played down the whole register a couple of times, and all the people were enthused. Some were calling out hallelujah, the others praise God, the third amen. And then it was again my turn to speak. And when again something very mighty came, suddenly it started all over. It were hours that I will never forget. I'm a very, very conservative man. Before I laugh and weep, this takes some time. But there, both was not difficult to me. Both not. I was inwardly so touched that these people were so in the matter. And that man had really a fine sense of feeling. When the highlight came, this was just so wonderful. But after these meetings, I have taken myself the Monday and the Tuesday to speak with one of the main responsible brothers, known under the general term, the revelation of the seven thunders. You know, I have heard this and that without knowing the details. And my return flight was on last Wednesday. And I thought by myself, you will make use of the opportunity to hear it once from the first mouth. What kind of things are under the bush? And I tell you, one cannot say everything of the things said there. For these people, everything is over. The Lord has come. The resurrection took place. The rapture is past. The marriage and everything what goes with it. It went from one thing to the other. And I have then very goal-orientated addressed scriptures. And I asked, is Matthew 25 fulfilled, that the bridegroom has come? Yes, this is fulfilled. First Timothy, I mean First Thessalonians 4, of the return of the Lord, yes, this is fulfilled. In fact, everything is fulfilled. I don't want to go into details. Not once the Bible was read. Every time, just passages from this or that sermon. And even they were taken out of context in such a brutal way to prove one's own knowledge and teaching with a signboard of the prophet, that I really, from one moment to the other, because of an inward pain, I broke out in tears. And I asked the brother, do you really believe that the time of grace is over and the blood is no more on the mercy seat? And then he tells me, the blood has never been on the mercy seat. And I thought, what shall this now be? And then he says, literally, the blood has run into the sand. I cannot even tell you all these things, of the things that were said to me. And I opened up scripture after scripture. I wanted to help, but it was not possible. The people have crossed every line. They cannot return anymore. Here, one doesn't hear these things in our two languages, be it German or French. There everything is so overridden, much enthusiasm is made, without that the individuals even know what is being believed and proclaimed there. So, as Ezra said, on that Monday and Tuesday, it was very hard. But then I came to the conclusion, namely, when I took my Bible and started to read, then the one told me, this you can close. Out of it, all the preachers, all denominations have read long enough, and you missed the thing, and you do it just like they do, and you just read on in your Bible. I only asked, where shall I read, if not in the Bible? And now we come to the main point. I believe with all my heart in the ministry of all servants and prophets. I believe with all my heart, out of full conviction, in the blessed ministry of our beloved brother William Branham, who went home already. But I believe that he, in conformity with all the apostles and prophets, proclaimed the true word of God. And he said, this Bible is my absolute. This every true child of God will say until the end. And when I then made aware of a quote from November 1965, and when I said to the brother, listen, you say the Lord has come in 1963, and Brother Branham has in 1965 still waited for him. Yes, he says, also to him it was not revealed. You can imagine. I said, all right, then it is also not revealed to me. I just mentioned these things for one reason. How grateful we should be that God kept us a sound mind, that he kept us in his grace, and that he made his word great and wonderful to us. That we, out of conviction, can say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. When I said to him, listen, it is written, we will meet the Lord in the air, and so forth. He said, I've been breathing this air for a long time. I said, listen, it is written of the cloud. Yes, he says, it's also written that we are compassed around with a great cloud of witnesses, and in this cloud of witnesses we have been raptured. I tell you, no conversation is possible. I know that many people are hostile to me, and now I'm even more happy about it. Before I departed, I received knowledge of a 41-page long brochure that only deals about me, and this in a very bad way. And I tell you, also this was for me a very wonderful lesson. Earthly scene, one would go to the court, but spiritually and divine, again something happened for the first time that I didn't experience before. At first I was in the lounge, and then I went to the office, and like of an invisible hand pressed, I went down on my knees and I brought it over my lips. Lord, do not impute all this to them, for they don't know what they are doing. They think to do God a favor, but in this way it doesn't work. Today I know better than ever that with every false doctrine, falseness is connected with everything what goes with it. Friendly into the face, but behind the back, totally different. I hope that we, until the end, will hold fast to the word of truth, and don't listen to any heresies. And if I say this now, then I say it with full awareness. The most terrible heresies which exist on earth are within this end time message. And this may shock you now at this moment. And you may say, Brother Frank, you have carried now for 20 years the word of the Lord. And I say you to it, if it would still take 20 years until the coming of the Lord, I would do the same and would carry the same word in the same way. I say once again, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we followed the word of God. And the psalm writer says, you made your word great and wonderful. And I know today, better than ever before, why Brother Branham already 1933 got this scripture told to him. Read 2 Timothy 4. And this he did then. He tore out the page of his Bible and laid it into the cornerstone when the tabernacle should be built. Brother Barrier knows it. When we at that time were in Marseille, I looked on my watch, 5 minutes to 5 in the morning. I heard the voice twice. Arise, read 2 Timothy 4. And do you know what's written there? Preach the word. Be instant, in season or out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And it has to be, of course, very close to the genuine, that the people just fall for it. But I'm convinced no elect will turn his back to the word of God. A person who turns his back to the word of God, to the Holy Scripture, such a person has not yet turned his countenance toward God. He may be pious, decorated with all kinds of quotes from all sermons. Word and Spirit must and will always be in conformity. We believe it, that the same Jesus who was taken from us, that means from the earth, into heaven, will return in like manner as he ascended to heaven. That's how it is written. And perhaps we read some scriptures. It touches me very much. I may not forget to extend the greetings from Salzburg. On last Friday, I was in Vienna, yesterday in Salzburg. This afternoon, I came flying to Zurich, and now we are here. All are sending greetings. I would like to read from 2 Timothy. I mean 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, from verse 1 to 3. 2 Thessalonians 2, from verse 1 to 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. So far, this precious and holy word. Here Paul refers to the return of the Lord, to the leading together of all the redeemed who will meet their Lord, to be forever joined with him. And right in this connection is written the warning that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Neither, somebody says, it's a spiritual revelation, nor by a word by us. Don't receive it. Stay calm, For it will be an experience that we all of us, will experience it. No one will be excluded. When I said to this brother, listen, it's of course written, two will be on one bed. One will be taken, one is left behind. Two on the same field, two grinding at the mill. I say, where and when has this taken place? I then also took myself the liberty to read the scriptures, which had to be read. But that was then the moment when he said, this, all the preachers in all denominations have done the same way as you are doing it now. And then I noticed that God's word has to say nothing anymore to such people. I have one question to all of you. Do you love the word of God with all your heart? Has the word of God become new to you by the divine message? Has the Bible become a living book to you? Thanks be to God for it. This was the whole purpose of the proclamation of the word in our days. I am also aware of this, that many have read and are still reading today and overhear, oversee and overread. This I also know. But in the same way I know that God is a God of His word and that He watches over it to fulfill when the time comes for it. The task in the ministry of Brother Branham was therein to put the promises which are in the word upon the lampstand so that we can believe them before they find their fulfillment. So, Paul exhorts us today as then that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. The same applies for us today. Also this I have said, the Lord has not promised to come to us and to abide here. He said, I go to prepare a place for you and come again to receive you unto myself. And I said, this place is not on earth. This place is in heaven. And there he really asked me, where is heaven? Can you imagine? Of people who also preached here in this room, in this building, of people with whom one was together, that they suddenly have a totally different spirit, a totally different gospel, yeah, no gospel at all, but they have lost their mind and have a corrupt mind and put everything upside down. Why are we required to remain sober and clear, and this the more we see the day approaching? Believe me, the divine message was given us for the purpose to bring us back to God and to the Word of God, to show us God in His revelation, and also the Word in all its meaning, to make it clear to us so that we can understand the mysteries which were hidden before by the grace of our God. I repeat, it says here, that ye be not soon shaken in mind people are shaken in mind. For what? Why? They have drawn disciples to follow after them without pointing to the Lord and to put the word above everything. I read from 1 Timothy 4, I mean Thessalonians. Pardon me, the time difference gives me still a hard time. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Here a very, very mighty word is written. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I asked him whether this took place, and he said, as the people at the registry office, very loud, yes. It did not yet take place. When this takes place, then all of us will feel it. We will come to know about it. It will, by the grace of God, happen with us. Jesus, those who sleep in Christ, he will bring them with him, and together we will then be taken there where we will celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb, rejoicing as the redeemed to see the Redeemer, to have come home. As Abram says, I seek the city whose builder is God. And I also mentioned Enoch, the seventh after Adam, of whom it is written, he walked with God, and then he was raptured and no more found on earth. I say, you claim you are raptured and you are all still on earth. God's word will be fulfilled on them who are ordained to have part in that what he does. All the others, in their own special cleverness, as they think, they will fall prey to their own thoughts and don't know at all what kind of foolishness they speak, as it was never possible in an age. There's another word in 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. I asked him, did he come with all his saints? He said, yes. For these people, there's nothing what still has to be fulfilled. Everything is fulfilled. Not for us. We have experienced the calling out. And with the calling out, the restoration is connected. The preparation of the bride of the Lamb, so that she is taken away before the great tribulation and that she can enter into glory. Here it is written that we should be found unblameable in holiness before our Lord. When our Lord comes. Listen what is also written in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it at the return of the Lord. And here something may come now about which God may judge. But Brother Branham saw in a vision that extraordinary things took place. He saw how people who came in with one arm, they went out with two arms. He saw that extraordinary things happened on the body with them who were gathering and who waited for the return of the Lord. If it is written here that we should be found blameless at the return of the Lord, in the soul, in the spirit, and in the body, then I trust and believe God that he truly will manifest his power in such a mighty way, right at the end, in the bride. And in this connection, also Brother Branham speaks of the squeeze which will then come upon the true believers, because God himself will manifest himself in such an extraordinary way. But we don't speculate about it, and we don't philosophize. We follow the Lord. We persevere. We wait. We are in great expectation. This we all admit. But we will be careful to fob the people off with pious sayings. We want to experience the divine reality of all the promises, and we will not withhold them from anyone. I have earlier here, before I came here to the front, I was reading from Luke 3. Luke 3, here it is, verse 3. Maybe we read verse 2 also. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Especially emphasized should be the thought, the word of God came unto John. We know he was the prophet. To him the word came. And already it is referred to Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5. And it says here in verse 3, in Luke 3, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This was the promise. And here we have the fulfillment. Literally, it was fulfilled. It was written, a voice cries in the wilderness. In the same way it was written, I send my messenger before me, that he should prepare my way before me. Everything was written. And now the fulfillment came literally. Everything what God has promised in His Word will be literally fulfilled. I have still asked one question, and this was the promise that God would send a prophet was also written in the prophet Malachi. Our Lord confirmed it in Matthew 17 verse 11 and said, I send you the prophet Elijah. He let it say through Peter in the book of Acts chapter 3 verse 21 that Christ remains in heaven until the time of restoration of all things. And then I said, listen, this promise was not a theory, not an interpretation. It was a literal fulfillment of that. What God promised, shall not also the rest which God promised merge in the literal fulfillment? But as it was said already, such people don't even listen then anymore. It was something strange, by the way, when he told me, because you didn't understand that the half hour of silence is over, and that since that time God has broken his silence. And then I of course asked, when was this half hour of silence? And then he said, exactly from 63 to 83. And these were 20 years and 8 months. Oh, I said, this I didn't know yet. And I asked, where did Brother Branham say this? And there came still other things. Beloved, God made me more thankful. Although tears were rolling down, because I cannot comprehend it, I cannot grasp it, that people turn away from the truth. But then one has to come to the conclusion that the divine seed has not come up in them. This may sound hard, but Paul writes of brothers who crept in, who were not part of it at all from the beginning, who do not have a divine commission, no divine revelation and teaching, but who want to make a business from God's matter, and they do it in all kinds of ways. And the pious ones, when they hear of a good atmosphere, then they are part of it. If one then tells them, oh, the others there, this Brother Frank, they all bypassed the thing. They all missed it. They know nothing about what happened. And the people want to be part of it or not. All want to be part of it. But I tell you, when and how I want to be part of it. I want to be part of it when God does something. I want to have part when the power of God is manifested in them who waited patiently. And the time will come. Now we have to wait. And most certainly, somebody will say, oh, Brother Frank, it would be nice if you also would have some new revelations. No, I forgo it in favor of others. The old Word of God becomes every day new to us, and the Holy Spirit will hold fast to that what is written. He will never go beyond the testimony of the Holy Scripture. And especially if it then still comes to the point that the things are all called the seven thunder revelations. And then it says, faith is a revelation. I heard it non-stop. This is the faith, and the faith is a revelation. And the revelation is faith. It went around in circles. I say, listen, God's word is God's word. Revelation is revelation. If we received by faith the revelation from God, and it deals with a divine promise, then this faith, which has become a divine revelation to us, then it must merge into the fulfillment of the divine promise or not. Have I made myself clear enough? Faith, yes. Revelation also, but afterwards not a pious fantasy, but the faith as the Scripture says. Revelation, which the Scripture promised, an experience as the Word of God says. And by it, I can just emphasize again, we have become more thankful to the Lord that He has protected, that He has kept us. And there are the most various scriptures which one could read. Paul writes to Timothy, hold fast to the word of the Lord, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Paul exhorts him to rightly divide the word of truth and to proclaim the sound doctrine. There are many exhortations. Among others, he writes of the faith that was in him and was already in his grandmother, Lois. And then there's written a little sentence, and you know the Holy Scripture from your childhood, and the Scriptures are able to instruct you. We distinguish today, in this time, two things. On one hand, that people read the Holy Scripture without knowing what's all about, and therefore have no revelation about the will of God. And between them who recognized the time and hour, the message, the working of God, and the promises for our days, they have heard them and they believe them. If they read the Holy Scripture, then they not only read letters, then the letter becomes alive to them, a living revelation of the living God. The written word becomes again the spoken word, and it accomplishes for what God has sent it for. If we, from this afternoon, would have learned nothing else than to take our stand forever in the name of the Lord upon the word of God, and to not let us lead astray by nothing and nobody, then it was worthwhile. Because you know precisely, the deception doesn't come somewhere. It comes so close to the genuine. And we just need to deviate once from the word of God and let the word no more be our absolute. And already the enemy can play his game among the children of men. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. At the end, everything will come to fulfillment. What was promised to us, Jesus Christ will return and we shall meet him and be with him at all times. We will celebrate the marriage supper with him. And after the tribulation, we will come again with him to reign 1,000 years together with him on earth. Every word of God will be, when the time has come for it, it will be literally fulfilled. Also this I asked. In Matthew 22 it's written that the king came into the room and there was one man who had no wedding garment on. And the king said, take him, bind him on hands and feet and throw him out. And I asked, who was that man and when was he thrown out if the hall was filled already with guests and the bridegroom is already your husband? Yes, he says, this was very mighty. I said, this is not my question. I asked very, very precisely who this man was and where it happened. Beloved, we are grateful to God that we have God's holy word. I could emphasize it non-stop. It becomes more precious to me, always greater, because that was the whole purpose of the prophetic ministry in our generation, to take us away from all the fables and to lead us into the Word. And the Lord succeeded, and he will continue to succeed until the end. And our Lord says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me, this is the secret. These words of God must and will abide in us. We have no worries at all about the rapturing faith. Not at all. I don't know why I should be worried. I know that I will be part of it. And I want to serve the Lord diligently, following him. But one does not reach the rapture by indulging in various kinds of enthusiasm. Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God, and suddenly he was no more here. Let us seek and strive for it, to live a life which is well pleasing to God. Let us thank the Lord that the blood of the Lamb is still on the mercy seat, that we can still come, that we can receive purification and sanctification, and by this serving the Lord, following him, until we come from believing unto seeing. God will do something new, something great. It is a remnant who will not be misled and confused. People who rightfully wait for the fulfillment of the last promises. And they will not be disappointed. They will become divine reality, fulfilled promises. We will carry them around with us. Yes, we will become a part of that, what God will still do. Just thank him once for it. Do you actually know why we are kept in the Word? Because God intends to do something with us. And the attacks, the battles, and whatever goes with it that are aimed against me, they cannot do any harm to me. They can only do well to me, because by it the Lord tests also how it is with our inward being. If one can pray, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they do. But this I noticed. The attacks come not from the rows of them who remained in the Word. The attacks come from them who went out of the Word and who have fallen prey to misleading spirits. And just as evil as the spirits are, so also are the people whom they possess. And therefore, one should not accept anything else than, as the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. But from one fountain one will never draw bitter and sweet at the same time. Either we are the divine seed and ordained to carry the promises of God, or we are not, and bring everything again upside down and are causing a spiritual chaos. May God save the lost, heal the sick, and those who are not yet completely certain, may He settle them and establish them. May He bless us all from the riches of His grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Should somebody be here who wishes to be brought in prayer before the throne of grace, raise your hand and put it down again. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. May God bless you all. Heavenly Father, You have given us promises in Your Word. And You confirmed them, and You made them true. You also said, I have given them Thy Word. Faithful Lord, we pray, keep us in Your Word, for Thy Word is the truth. And in this Thy truth, we are sanctified through the Holy Spirit, who makes us Your Word alive and reveals unto us therein the whole purpose. Dear Lord, we pray for all who have raised their hands. How do we long for this day and for this hour in which the sick just come but are leaving healed. Faithful Lord, without the laying on of hands, that Your Word is spoken out by faith and that it becomes reality before our eyes. Dear Lord, until then, may You bless the hands of them who lay them upon the sick. May You heal, save, relieving every pain. Lord, You know all the needs and the troubles, O faithful God. May also this meeting for each individual have been a blessing. Faithful Lord, I thank You with all my heart for that what You have done in Zaire. My God, beyond asking and beyond understanding, You have given grace and You blessed. We pray also for our beloved brother Barrier, when he, in the midst of the month, makes this journey. Be Thou with him, O Lord. Bless Brother Etienne. Bless all brothers who, in the same spirit, walk forward to carry the divine message, not bringing forth own things, in holy reverence, in Your name, bringing Your Word. Lord, bless also all in all countries, O Lord, and we pray in particular that you hear at this place, that you would make a supernatural beginning, O Lord, something of which everybody would know this God has done. This is the hand of the Lord. O God, we have been humbled, we have been made naked, we have been made dirty. Lord, nothing was spared us. But you see everything, and you know everything. It has to go around you first. You suffered. You were beaten. You had an appearance that didn't look like a human being anymore. Faithful Lord, if it was done on the green tree, what shall then be with the dry? And if they do to the servant as it was done to his Lord, then it shall be enough for him. Faithful Savior, thank you that I may now bear a little reproach, bearing it for your name's, for your word's sake. Thank you for the deep connection toward you and your word. O Lord, this Bible, I could kiss it. It is your word, your holy word, that you revealed unto us. We thank you for it. Keep us in this word and in your grace. And as my brother prayed, stop the enemy, that nobody anymore is led astray and confused. But in the contrary, that many who were led away by the trickery of him, because they meant to miss something, may they come back to their senses and return, as the brother in Belgium and others. O faithful Lord, be merciful to all of us. Once again, we thank you for the redemption through the blood of the Lamb, for the forgiveness of all sins, for the blotting out of all guilt, for the new eternal life, for the end time message, for your revealed word, for the ministry of your servant and prophet. Dear Lord, we thank you so deeply for everything. And as it is written, no one got lost except the son of perdition, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. So may it also be now at the end of days. All whom you have chosen from before the foundation of the world, nobody will pluck them out of your hand. They may err, but they will find their way back. They are yours for time and for eternity. Be with all of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just say, all of you, hallelujah, amen. All who believe God's word, say amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Who rejoices that the Lord has kept us in his word? Amen. And who believes that he will keep us until the end? Praise God. I also believe it with all my heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If this service now was a bit different than usual, then don't be angry with me. Maybe you will nevertheless be more thankful from today on that God has kept us in his word by his grace. We would shake our heads when we hear such things, and the people believe it without knowing that they have fallen prey to misleading spirits. remember me even more as never before in your prayers. The devil doesn't like me for a long time, but the closer it comes to the end, the more terrible the attacks are. And I must say honestly, in me, the joy becomes greater and greater without any effort on my part. And so I'm grateful to the Lord. It's also against my reasoning. Also, I would like to see it when the people would sing a song about me. But do you know what the scripture says? Woe unto you when they speak good things about you. This they have done with all the false prophets. But rejoice when they tell all kinds of things about you. So, I have much reason to rejoice and to thank the Lord. Should something come into your house of the 41 pages, then throw them in the bin and then it's finished. May God bless you and be with you. We stand up for the closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we are not here in our own matter. It was a holy calling that was addressed to us, whether to speak or whether to hear. It was you who has chosen us, and you have drawn us unto yourself. It was you who saved us, who has forgiven us. You have given us eternal life. Faithful Lord, you are the one, and you will be the one who will finish the work which you started unto the day of your return. Dear Savior, on that glorious morning, we will see you. We will see you as you are, and we will be like you. Dear Lord, and as your prophet, Brother Branham, saw, and as it was shown to me also, we will be young. O Lord, we believe that in eternity, of the consequences of sin, nothing will be seen anymore. No one of the redeemed will be afflicted of sin, of sickness, of death. No, the old will have been passed. Everything has become new. Faithful Lord, already today, we thank you for it, that we probably will not die, but will be translated. That means that we don't have to die, but that we will be changed and then being taken up to you. Whichever way it may be, make us ready to meet you, whether alone or whether in the fullness. Bless my beloved brothers and sisters. Bless here and bless everywhere, at all places, in all countries, where these tapes are being heard. O beloved Lord, you watch over your people and over your word. You fulfill, you bless. You have promised to be with us until the end of the world. And that's how it will be. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Glory and praise be to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen.